There's a nice new little intro there that sort of stealing off YouTube at the moment. So yeah, that was nice and different.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is week 15 of the NFL. Getting towards those sort of, I guess, where the positions sort of start, like the division titles and, you know, the key where you're going to finish, sort of if you're going to get first round bye and all that.
Plenty of playoff sort of implications too with these games today. I guess upsets and teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs already. We're still, yeah, this is week 15, so we're still two weeks away from the playoffs starting. But a few teams have been eliminated already. Yeah, there's divisions up for grabs still. There's the AFC and NFC is still up for grabs, so that could, you know, the NFC could be decided as of next week. But there's still plenty to play for. All you got to do is just ask the New York Jets.
All right, and the Dallas Cowboys somehow.
That's right, exactly.
My God. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. You want to rip through the scores?
So we'll burn through the scores. Friday game for us here was the Chargers over the Raiders in overtime, which was a pretty good game, actually. That was 30-27. Sunday morning games here, we had two, which is awesome at the moment, having Sunday games here and Monday games here. That's terrific, even though college football is generally on Sunday mornings. But we had two games on Sunday morning here. We had Buffalo just railroading Denver 48-19, and also Green Bay 24 over Carolina 16.
It was a bit of a spirited second half by Carolina, but
I watched most of that game. Yeah, like Green Bay looked like they were just coasting, and then sort of Carolina just sort of letting them know that they're not going to go away without a fight.
Yeah.
So the Monday slate of games, which there was an absolute slew of them, we had Tampa Bay, man, just coming on a second half comeback against Atlanta, 31-27, which didn't screw my multi up, which was terrific. The Dallas Cowboys beat San Francisco 41-33.
Back in it, baby. Oh, my God. I
still in the mix.
I don't know. Do we want a high draft pick or do we want to win the division? I don't get it. But anyway.
Oh yeah, I don't know. It's we're kind still of. Oh, I mean, there should be around about that top 12 draft pick. You still should be able to pick up. You can still pick. All you got to do is have a look at who you picked up this year. Yeah. You can still players in the back end.
Really, but I don't know. What I'm getting at is, do we want to make the NFC title? Like, do we want to win the NFC title? Do we want a high draft pick? Because, man, that division's wide open. But yeah, sorry. Continue.
It is at the moment. It's very, very wide open for a few teams. Tennessee beat Detroit 46-25. Indianapolis beat the Texans 27-20. The Dolphins 22 over the Patriots 12, and that eliminates them from the playoffs for the first time since 2008. So, that was. It wasn't a bad game, but yeah, it was kind of bad for New England, I guess. Chicago 33 over Minnesota 27. Seattle 20 over the Washington football team 15. I guess a spirited run there by Dwayne Haskins and the football team at home. Baltimore just hammered Jacksonville 40-14. The New York Jets. What in the blue hell are you doing? 23-20 over the Rams. Arizona 33 over Philadelphia 26. That was a really good game too. Kansas City 32 over New Orleans 29.
You went through that one pretty
quick. Last game on Sunday was Cleveland 20 and the New York Giants looked like poo. 6 points. And last but not least, the Monday night football game that was on ESPN was Cincinnati springing the upset on Pittsburgh, 27-17. Pittsburgh just spluttering in the last couple of games, losing three on the trot now. So where do you want to start?
Well, I don't know. We can probably start right at the start of the games. I didn't, you know, went to OT, but the Chargers beating the Raiders.
The Chargers, that just how do they? They won the game, but oh man, they so many times they tried to throw this ball game away.
Yeah, they did. They did. I'm still trying to work them out. Except for Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is now, even though they're in a losing record, now will easily, just after looking at that game, will be Rookie of the Year.
For sure.
He is accurate. He can run out of the pocket and sort of get those those Mahomes kind of throws off when he needs to. I don't know. You're right. The Chargers could look at throwing away. I was just more concerned about the Raiders.
They didn't get off to the best start.
No.
But Derek Carr going down on a simple run off to the right. Looking for a touchdown throw, and he ended up just sort of trying to rush it just to get a few extra yards, and then comes off limping and grabbing at the groin area, which is not very fun. So Marcus Mariota, we have talked about him a little bit this year, but Mariota come in for his first start his first lot of game action in a year and a half.
Yeah.
I thought he looked all right.
I thought he was great. I thought he was fairly accurate. He didn't get sacked at all. He ran. He ran a lot.
He is. He's a good running quarterback. He always has been.
And he used who he needed. Darren Waller is absolutely ridiculous. He's on a tear this year, Darren Waller.
Well, that's your boy.
Oh, he's my 30-point boy. He is on a tear. But what I was going to say about Mariota, I completely agree. I guess I don't know. Derek Carr got injured. Mariota could look good in a lot of teams. It's just one game, I know, but
he's the forgotten factor. There would be a lot of teams out there that probably wouldn't be very high on the scouting report. Do you know what I mean? So as he's come in for Derek Carr on this injury, and who knows how long Carr could be out for. So Mariota could finish off the last two games of the season for the Raiders. This was a game that I guess they had to win really to keep their playoffs, their playoff hopes alive. But even them at 7-7, in that division in the NFC, in the AFC West, I can't see them making.
I don't think so. Like you said, Chargers could have easily thrown it away with those two missed field goals right at the end.
But they had a sequence of 47 yard field goal miss. An interception, and then another 51 field goal, yard field goal miss. It's like, oh my God, what are they doing? And then in overtime, Vegas had the ball first, couldn't punch it in, had to take the 3 points, and then two just horrendous, horrendous penalties keeping the Chargers alive. There was a pass interference call, which I think it cost 26-27 yards or something like that. And then lowering the head penalties, hitting a player with the crown of the helmet. They're not stupid. But sometimes it's incidental contact with the helmet, and they still throw the flag. And you're like, man, well, what are you meant to do? You can't avoid it.
It's slow-mo, don't get me wrong, but in saying that, he come in, he didn't have to, the guy was sort of falling, I can't remember who was falling, at Ballard or someone, but he was already falling. Whoever got the penalty, then decided to sort of go down. I think he had plenty of time to decide, to put that head down a notch, or at least take it out. I know what you're saying, and I agree with those penalizing them if they're legit. But I know what you're saying in that case. I mean, we protect the quarterbacks when they just get touched. I mean, I'd rather like protect other players with that kind of thing than just.
No, of course, that's right. And that's the thing. It's a full speed. You know, it's generally they're full speed kind of plays too. So you know, when you get hit, especially when they're lowering their head and you hit another player, especially when it's helmet to helmet contact, it'll ring your bell. It would ring both players' bells as well. Not just the player getting hit. The player that's done the lowering of the helmet, so to speak, his bell will get rung as well. It'll rattle you a bit, and they'll never be able to eradicate it out of the game. But to hit them with penalties, and at such a crucial time as well, and then Justin Herbert sort of has that that dive over the top to get into the end zone for the win.
Next one, I guess I wanted to talk about, which is to their credentials, is the Bills just flogging the Broncos. They're 11-3 now. And I think they sort of brought it up in a lot of slow-mo or a lot of side-by-side replays. For everything that everyone was saying about Josh Allen being erratic, I noticed, and they had the way he throws from last year to the way he throws this year. He seems to now have his feet a bit more together, and he's actually throwing forward instead of from behind.
They've showed that. The stick figure, computer animatronics of it, of his throwing action. He changed his mechanics there a little bit. I think a lot of it to do was like the foot sort of pointing forward a little bit more as well, where the ball's going to go, rather than having your foot turned in and using your hips more. Yeah. He's using his upper body a lot more. But that's the thing. He's had a gigantic jump in accuracy.
For sure.
Nobody's going to underestimate it. But the Stephon Diggs, we've said it all year.
We keep saying
having Stephon Diggs there, that helps out as well. It's the changing of his mechanics, him being less erratic, more efficient. But having Stephon Diggs there as well is massive.
Oh, it's huge. And even I think it was Knox or Kamara. I think it went in Kamara. Might have been. I think it was. Yeah, Jake Kamara. He was his. It was Jake Kamara. So that was the 12th. Just I guess in terms of accuracy, that's the 12th person that's got a touchdown from Josh Allen throw this year. So he. Besides Diggs, having Diggs, of
he's
course,
spreading the love.
They'll be disruptive in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
The best way. Very disruptive.
And the thing is too, they've got a pretty good sort of two-headed monster as well in the run game. It looks like Zach Moss has sort of taken over lead back over Singletary. But Singletary's more of a pass catcher than what Zach Moss is, but that's always helping as well. The O-line is playing really well, keeping Allen protected. When it does collapse, he's so elusive for a big guy.
He's not a small guy. He's big.
He's always had that ability, ability to run and for them to make those, to have those design plays a la Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. You can have those design run plays for him. Going off how they played last year in the playoffs. Obviously he was. I think Josh Allen was a little overawed by what was happening in the playoffs there. But this year, now that they've got that experience, I think that they could be super dangerous.
On the other side, I thought, look, the Broncos have weapons. Yeah, Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, Noah Fant was pretty good in that game. And if he gets Hughes right, Jerry Jeudy.
Are they wasting him? I know he's only a rookie. He's only got five targets in this game, but he should, they should be using him more, honestly.
Well, and this is where I was sort of getting at the point of, I think it's Drew Locke. I'm not sold on him. That's pretty much. I'm sorry, I'm not sold on him at all.
No, this was a very dink and dunk type game for him too. You know, 20 completions but only 132 yards. Like that was that's just not getting it done at all. Like the longest reception he had was to Jerry Jeudy, and that was only 19 yards. Like
yeah,
it's just so inept. With not so much him a quarterback. Like I'm not totally sold on him, but there's definitely potential. You can see the good and the bad out of him.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is have a look at on the other side of the page is Josh Allen. Like you can be done. You can coach the bad.
You can.
Not so much coach, but you can get rid of the bad.
Yeah.
When you're a young quarterback, and I guess that's sort of. Yeah, to be said too about somebody like Daniel Jones as well. Like you know, it can be worked out, and you can look good if you're willing to work on it. You get the right people around you, and you can look a lot better.
That Tampa Bay and Falcons game, did that feel like Tom Brady, New England Patriots, you know, coming back like they did against the Falcons in that Super Bowl? Because that's what it felt like when I watched it.
It's Tom Brady. It doesn't matter what uniform he plays in.
Yeah.
He just comes and he steals the soul of the Atlanta Falcons.
It's not the Patriots. That's what I think. I think it's Tom Brady. I think it is Tom Brady because that's what happened in this game. That's
exactly what happened. He looked awful in that first half.
He did, yeah.
I think all well and good, okay. He only had 70 yards, completed 10 of 16, in that first half. But they looked shell shocked, Tampa, in that first half. They just didn't look good at all. And Matt Ryan, he looked terrific.
He did.
Their offense looked great, and it was just a complete and other role reversal in that second half. Like I don't know, it was like they swapped jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree.
It was unbelievable. Like how poorly Matt Ryan played in that second half. Like it just didn't make any sense. Like I don't know what happened in the dressing room at halftime.
He did in the first half, he did what he did, I guess, you know, play to his strengths, like their receiving core. Like Calvin Ridley, I mean, I know Julio Jones was out again, but Calvin Ridley was an absolute monster in that game. Really, really good.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
But, and their rush game, was just non-existent.
Well, like you know, they could probably. I think they could use Hayden Hurst more in that. In that offense as well.
It's just their rushing was terrible. Their run game was.
There is just no fear for the run game in Atlanta at the moment, and. Todd Gurley had one series.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting one carry for negative. He might have had two series. He might have two series out there.
He didn't get used.
And there's just nothing there for the run game for Atlanta. So you don't have to stack the box. Yeah, you can keep your linebackers back a little bit. And you can play for the pass game, and Tampa's defense didn't do that very well in the first half, but no. They were monstrous in the second half.
Second half, yeah, that Devin White.
Devin White was there. He had the smell for blood.
Yeah.
In that second half, like he was all over Matt Ryan like a rash.
Three sacks and then 10 solo tackles. That's pretty monstrous.
And most of that was in the second half.
Usually, you know, for a linebacker, usually you'll get the sacks, yeah, but you won't get that many solo tackles or total tackles. That was absolutely ridiculous. Antonio Brown getting his first touchdown for the Bucs.
On a bomb too. Yeah. Like that throw from Brady was so accurate.
Yeah.
It was 46 yards, an absolute torpedo.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I mean, that's just Antonio Brown's speed. Now, I'm not saying a lot of people forgot, but he still has that speed. He's 31, I think. He still has that speed.
He's still got it. Look, It was just a total and utter Tampa Bay explosion on offense.
Their
first five possessions in the second half, they scored on all five. They had four touchdowns and a field goal. Atlanta's O-line were just falling apart all over the place. Like they were allowing, the linebackers to get through to get to Matt Ryan. Like it was just unbelievable how quickly things turned in that game, from first half to second half. It was crazy.
Tom Brady's a soul stealer. I think that's it.
That's right. And Atlanta's defense hasn't been that bad. They sort of say, they said it during the broadcast there, since week six, they've dropped, that they were averaging, for the first 6 weeks, they were averaging 32 points per game allowed.
Yeah.
And since week six, they've dropped that by 12 points. They're only allowing 20 points per game.
Yeah.
Which, with no big, no real big names on that defense for Atlanta, that they've done really well. But yeah, that's to have a 31 point quarter, or half put on them, that sort of brought them back down to down a peg or two.
So somehow my boys, the Cowboys, are still in the playoffs. They now moved up from last to second in one foul win. I don't care. Look, firstly, kudos to Tony Pollard taking the reins and just running with it. After Zeke sort of was ruled out with injury, he was
everywhere. Yeah, I see that.
Two touchdowns, 69 yards, and he got 63 rushing, receiving yards. So
he's probably more than a solid backup.
Oh, he is. Every time I play Madden, and obviously I pick the Cowboys, he's down as a fullback, which I guess technically is a fullback, but he's like the highest rated fullback in the entire NFL. He's like 80 or something like that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Even higher rated than Kyle Juszczyk for San Francisco.
Kyle's 81. I lie. Kyle was non-existent in this game. So, I think this sort of it changed a little bit when CJ Mullins going in and CJ Beathard coming in, or
it gave him a little bit of a spark.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's much like it. You're not doing Nick Mullins' confidence a whole lot, because that's happened already a couple of times since he's taken over from Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Since he's been hurt, if Mullins sort of looks a bit ordinary, they'll pull him and CJ Beathard will come in. But they're trying to go back to what makes them tick, and that's the run game. But it's when you don't have a whole lot of possession either. The absolute killer was the CD Lamb onside kick.
45.
Return for a touchdown. That's an absolute killer. But San Francisco are just they're decimated all over the park. Doing well
with what
for
they have.
What they've got.
Correct.
Offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
And that's probably, especially offensively, that's probably a credit to Kyle Shanahan. But they haven't been super stable at receiver all year. Debo Samuel's been in out. Kendrick Bourne and Ayuk in this one are sort of, they're up and coming receivers. So you're not getting a whole lot of production there, and they just weren't sort of getting enough sort of time with the football to sort of make the run game count. For the Cowboys to do what they've done is unreal.
Tennessee now 10-4. I mean, they pretty much, probably not much to talk about in this game. It's just, they obliterated, the Lions. Stafford was accurate in this game. That was the first thing I noticed.
I have no idea how Stafford even started that game. They said that on the Sunday morning that he could hardly even walk around. So they must have some good stuff in those horse needles that they give him to inject it, because it was apparently rib cartilage that he hurt last week. Apparently he was extremely, extremely sore the morning before the game. And look, it's a credit to his toughness. that he got out there, and he didn't look too bad. And unfortunately, their team isn't really sort of set up for a lot of success either. But you know, yeah, Tennessee just sort of, yeah, I think they just sort of took care of them fairly easily, I think.
Well, Tannehill got 5 touchdowns, so 3 obviously throwing ones, and he got a couple of rushing himself.
Yeah,
so.
a couple of rushes. That monster hit by Corey Davis, 75 yards. That was a massive hit too.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry just doing Derrick Henry things, I guess. That's just what he does.
Yeah. Well, I'm going off fantasy points. He was actually kept in check in this game. You know, I don't know how you keep someone in check at 147 rushing yards, but he was definitely kept in check. I don't know how that works, but he on the other side, I've got this guy in a lot of my fantasy squads. DeAndre Swift is one of those decent sort of rookies. I know at the start of the year they tried with Peterson, but he is coming into his own, DeAndre Swift.
I like DeAndre Swift. I think he's definitely got a real sort of future. If he can sort of be a little bit more active in the passing game, he'll be a real sort of dual threat.
See, that's, I think, that, you know, Marvin Jones is 30 and is still a decent player, but that's where I think they're lacking is a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Denny Amendola's.
TJ Hockenson, this is his second year now. Was pretty much non-existent in this game, and I know Stafford sort of he likes him, he likes to use him a lot, but he was extremely non-existent. Serious lack of you know a dominant number one receiver is it definitely hampers them a lot offensively.
I thought it'd be Kenny Golladay, but I think he's been out a lot, so I think he's not too bad of a player, Kenny Golladay. But
the last couple of seasons he's been hurt a lot. So the best your best ability is availability. So if you can't get on the field, then you're no good to anyone. Unfortunately,
no, that's right. The Texans sort of going down that heartbreaker against the Colts
again.
Yeah. A lot of they're 4-10, but they could be I don't know, probably 6-8, maybe even 7-7.
Could have 6-7. The two losses that they've had against Indianapolis, it was only a couple of weeks ago, where it was Deshaun Watson that was fumbling inside the red zone when they were only, I can't remember if they were down 6 or 7 in that game with very little time on the clock. And this one, the exact same situation happened, only it was Kiki Cootie that's dropped the ball. There's a lot of 19 seconds to go in the red zone. It's happened again.
David Johnson had the fumbles and Deshaun had the fumbles. It was, you're right. I mean, Kiki Cootie in a heartbreaker, really.
Oh, to me, that's a killer.
It's an absolute killer. Because, I mean, then they, all they did then was just sort of get that field goal just to sort of put it out of that arm's reach, I guess, didn't they?
No, yeah, and that's all they had to do then. That's all they had to do.
Yeah.
David Johnson very active in the passing game.
Yeah, he was actually. I'm still not. But Jonathan Taylor seems to be now playing. You know why they sort of picked him up in the second round, the running back out of for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm still not. I don't know if I'm still sold on the Colts. I know they're 10-4, which is great. Don't get me wrong.
They're keeping pace with Tennessee, and all you got to do is get to the playoffs, you just don't know what can happen.
I mean, Deshaun got that big money, but God, he needs some help. Like, you know, he was super accurate in this game again.
They're going to have to hit and hope in the draft. They've got to hire themselves a GM first, to sort of make some off season transactions to try and get themselves some better receivers, and then hope that they can maybe hit in the draft next year.
Yeah,
because their first round is gone.
I was about to say they're not going to get a first rounder unless they can do some creative, I guess, trading. But yeah, they're not going to get a first rounder at all.
No, the GM that walks in there has got one hell of a job to do.
So you mentioned it at the start, but the Pats now have effectively been knocked out of playoffs, which is fantastic to me. And the Dolphins, this was a divisional game. The Dolphins were just, I guess, did what they had to do, especially Tua.
He didn't look too bad at too all. Bad.
You know, he did enough. It's probably the best.
They've done the same thing. They've relied on the run game.
Yeah.
Ahmed has been really good as sort of a second option there because of Gaskin not being healthy.
Yeah.
In the later part of this year. So yeah, even Matt Breida, we sort of haven't seen a whole lot of him this year. I think he's been on the COVID list and he's been hurt as well this year. Even he looked pretty good in the backfield there for Miami, and that's a good thing for Miami that they can get away with wins like this purely on that rush game. Yeah. 42 rushing attempts, which is pretty good. Tua again, sort of that dink and dunk type game.
Yeah.
Longest reception by anybody was 15 yards. So he's not asked to throw the ball down the field. Brian Flores isn't drawing up a whole lot of sort of long bomb schemes for him, and just getting the job done.
Are you? I guess now that they're out, would you throw like a Jacoby Brissett or something on him? Because I don't know what's going to happen with Cam Newton next year now. Not sure.
You mean Jared Stidham?
Jared Stidham, sorry, not Jacoby.
I don't know. I think that it sort of ruined. It'd ruin Cam's confidence if it hasn't already been ruined already this year. But I'd still stick with Newton unless he just totally stinks up the joint. Which he has been pulled already a couple of times again this year. So if they don't think Stidham is their guy for the future, then I don't know what you do. I think you try and help Cam Newton out, to try and get him, whether or not he can stay in this system at New England or keep him in there, keep getting in the reps, and hopefully another team next year will pick him up as their first sort of first string quarterback, and you'll get him you can get him paid. But the way that he's sort of looking at the moment, just not very good at the moment, which is unfortunate. And they've got a lot of young receivers there in New England as well, so that's not really helping. A super lack of the run game is not helping either. So it's Miami done enough throughout. It was a bit of a dire game, really. Like the first half was pretty. It was pretty ordinary, but they sort of come alive a little bit in the fourth quarter, and New England was still in it to win it, but that's since 2008 now, that's the first time that they're going to miss the playoffs.
A team that I still can't work out how they lost, but the Rams losing to the Jets. Like, when Jared Goff loses, or when he's terrible, he really is terrible. He's terrible. When he's good, but when he stinks, he stinks.
This is sort of, just listening to sort of stuff on TV and that. I think this is one of those games where, the Rams probably feeling themselves a little bit. They've been looking good this year. And I think they've just totally and utterly just discounted the Jets, and the Jets came to play.
And so did Sam Darnold. Like, for all the, depending where Trevor Lawrence is going to go and all that, I don't know, Sam Darnold looked pretty good in this game. He was pretty consistent. He got sacked twice, but he was fairly consistent with his passing game. And 22 of 31 wasn't too bad for 207. For what he's got there, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
No, that's right. Jameson Crowder's still a good receiver.
Yeah.
Rashad Perryman, I don't mind either. Denzel Mims is a young receiver that's there. Frank Gore was sort of the linchpin, I guess, to to that game. And
yeah,
and 23. I think the young rookie there, Cam Akers, I think he played better than what Akers did. You know, Akers has been really good lately, but I think they kept him in check there a little bit. I think
they kept their great I think they really kept their wide receivers in check in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. That's the one thing I sort of noticed, at least enough to sort of kept them in check, I guess, you know, because they didn't really have the explosive games like they've been having lately, especially Robert Woods. You know, he did get a touchdown, but, you know, it's only getting 56 yards for what he usually gets.
But the Jets controlled the ball well, controlled the time of possession, kept the ball away from, from the Rams and from Jared Goff, and put the pressure on him.
Yeah.
And when he did have to come out and did have to make plays, it just didn't happen. Like they're still in the game. It was 23-20, like the final score. There's 4 minutes left to go. And they're only down three. It's a fourth and four, and they turn it over on downs by big plays from the Jets defense.
That's
embarrassing.
It was 4 minutes. That's unforgivable, really.
You can't do that.
So that's when Jared Goff stinks. Unfortunately, he really stinks.
That's put them. I don't know. Are they out of the race for the division now?
Ten and four is
not so much now, but it's Seattle have got control of that division now.
Control of that division. They still could, you know, somehow get it. Well, they still could get a wild card playoff because.
Yeah,
you know, the Cards are 8-6, and they're 9-5. The Rams. So, I think it's Seattle's to lose now. So 10-4 they are. So,
It's a log jam at the top of the NFC.
Yeah,
three 10-4 teams now, with the Saints, the Packers, and now Seattle. So it's a log jam there for the division. For the conference.
NFC. Yeah. Speaking of which, because that was the only other main game I wanted to talk about, the your boys. We text before the game, but you about having Breeze sort of come back. You didn't want him to come back for this game.
This was an absolute mistake bringing him back for this game.
Yeah.
He proved it up until the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, he was actually starting to look okay. For the first time in his career, he actually started 0-5 in the game. Like, he just looked awful. He looked rusty. He looked hesitant. I just didn't like what I was seeing out of him at all.
No.
They didn't have any luck in the run game. It was just and you're turning the ball over. Like, he had an early interception.
A lot of three and outs. Yeah, that was right at the start there for the Saints. So I think
you can't give the Chiefs short fields.
No, that's exactly
and
right.
To New Orleans' credit, their defensive backs and their secondary really, really did well against. Obviously, you can't do that well against Travis Kelce. Like, he's near unstoppable. But they did really well and made Mahomes. Yeah, he wasn't super accurate at all.
No, he wasn't.
They put the pressure on him a lot, and he got flushed out of the pocket a heap. It was unfortunately something that the Saints haven't had to worry too much about this year is offense, and that killed them. Even though they scored 29 points, but that essentially was the killer blow. That's what you've got to do against the Chiefs. You've got to score points. And even when they don't look good, and the Chiefs didn't look super against Miami last week, still got the job done.
Yeah.
You know, Mahomes didn't look terrific in this game. He just looked like a regular old quarterback.
Yeah.
They still score 32 points.
You're right. He looked like a regular old quarterback because the Saints did keep him in check. I think Randy Reid did it really smart when he realized, you know, Mahomes couldn't get the ball away, so he turned to a lot of the rushing, you know, to our run game. No, that's right. Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon
Bell. That's what I was saying. That's 100% what I was saying on the broadcast. I think it was Jim Nance and Tony Romo on this one. That's what New Orleans were doing. They were daring Kansas City to run the ball. And they did it to fairly well effect. Throughout that middle section of the game, you know, Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell were getting some good chunk plays.
Yeah, they were.
And make the Saints D work more up front.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore was good in this game. I thought for the Saints.
Your lack of
a run game for New Orleans, which was only going to play into Kansas City's hands, especially with. Obviously no Michael Thomas for the Saints. They put him on the IR, like he's done for the season, but he should be back for the playoffs.
That's exactly so, how yeah, they
he's
put
out
it.
For the next 3 weeks. They're sitting him down. So Emmanuel Sanders, even for a little bit there, was out throughout the third quarter, come back in the fourth. They just had no luck at all receiving wise. Not even Kamara was sort of getting a lot of good looks. He complete 44%. He just looked rusty and hesitant. He looked hesitant. He didn't want to get hit. There was a couple of times he got hit from the side and up underneath his armpits. That would have hurt a lot. I think were just one of the key plays that they sort of pretty much ended the half. I don't know if you've seen that just batshit crazy sequence where the Saints had the punt. I think I was about to call him Duncan Robinson, but I don't think it's Duncan Robinson. It's DeMarcus Robinson.
DeMarcus Robinson.
And that's the thing, you know, Mecole Hardman is generally your, you know, punt and kickoff returner. He'd been hit fairly hard a couple of plays earlier. So he was out. So they had DeMarcus Robinson in there. He took the catch, started running off to the side, and the Saints D just absolutely swarmed him inside the 5 yard line. The ball was punched out. It goes into the end zone, and all Alex Anzalone had to do was just dive on the ball and possess the ball, and it's a touchdown. He dives straight over the top of it. Mm. It goes into they call it the end line, but into the dead ball line, and then it ends up being a safety. And all Anzalone had to do was just dive on the ball, and it's 7 points. Like it's a mistake, but because it's at the end of the half and the Saints receive the ball, at the second half kickoff, that's a huge, huge play that doesn't come off. And they're the kind of plays that you need on special teams.
Yeah,
to be up to beat the Chiefs, and it didn't come off.
I also thought Trey Hendrickson. He played pretty well for you guys, a defensive end there. I think he got a couple of sacks in that game.
He's a machine. Good. He's been really good this year. I think tied at the top for sacks again. I think it sort of hurt him a little bit as well with Cam Jordan getting disqualified. And booted out of the game for sort of pretty much it was a close fist. Like he threw a close fist at one of the Chiefs offensive linemen. He was sort of being not so much dominated a little bit, but I think there was a few sequences there where he'd been kept in check, Cam Jordan, and I don't think he liked that too much. Basically threw a close fist at him and was disqualified and chucked out of the game. And pretty much as Cam Jordan was being escorted into the locker room, as he was walking past, they go straight down that side. Marcus Davenport pretty much took over. They go straight down that side, do a little flick pass, and there's a touchdown for the Chiefs. And it's the ultimate costing of your team that right where you normally are, they go straight to that side, attack it, and they get 7 points off it.
Yeah. Look, it is a loss at the end of the day. I mean, I think the AFC is pretty much sewn up for the Chiefs. They'll get the number one seed in the bye. You would think the Packers are pretty much going to sew that up. You would think.
You would think so, but that's, I mean, I wouldn't, yeah, it wouldn't sort of totally discount. Like you said, you know, there's a logjam at the top of the NFC at the moment. So there's, it's the waiting game now. The Philadelphia loss last week for the Saints hurts. So, you know, so to speak, no pun intended. But that's ultimately the game that's probably going to cost them, you know, a first round bye in the playoffs.
I think so.
Well, that's Green Bay's got the tiebreaker because that's one of the Saints' losses this year. So yep. Green Bay's got the tiebreaker against them, and then it'll just be a matter of now, you know, Seattle, and it'll be Seattle and New Orleans sort of jostling it out for that top, you know, to get a top two, top three position, and who they're going to play for, you know, in the first round of the playoffs. Funnily enough, like Chicago's still on the hunt.
Yeah, it's really. I mean, that's just this season. That you're right, but that's just this season, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're knocking off Minnesota, like in Minnesota. Like, it's just, I don't know how to take the Vikings. Like, honestly, is Kirk Cousins any good?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, there's so many teams out there that have gone out there and paid that boy money. I don't know if he's good or not. Like that's not a slight on him. Like, he is a good quarterback, but man, I just that's a very, very puzzling game. That
I don't know. I know that sound. I don't know.
I did see the that Twitter clip that come up on a certain messenger group where Justin Jefferson's going, you know, F me, throw the ball, Cousins, or throw the ball, Kurt. Like, I think he's a little bit shirty there. He knows what Stephon Diggs was going through last year.
Yeah, but he's still got 104 yards, but I know what you mean. I mean, that's a bit of a bold move for a rook to sort of come out and sort of say it, really.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, so. Obviously, he's got the confidence in himself with it. Like, it just, yeah, if you want to call out the veteran like that, but it just, yeah, I don't know. And I guess that there is a you know, a product of not having any crowds there either. Like,
that's a fair
generally
point.
You just, well, you just wouldn't hear that with a full stadium.
What just on that game, look, the Bears, you're right, funnily enough, are still in the hunt. Trubisky played that whole game and wasn't too bad. I still
they're not going to sign Dave Montgomery. Where's this been all year?
Yeah, you say that. Yeah, see, I was messaging someone about Montgomery. You say that, but the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been good.
Exactly. He's been one of the better running backs getting around. Like, that's me. Where's this been all year? He had 32 rush attempts in this game. Like, that's
Regular season yards, just to put it in perspective of how good he's been going the last five games, his regular season yards are 760. The last five games, he's ran for 407. So he's done over half in the last five games of the entire year.
Yeah, so, exactly. Right. He was totally inept throughout the first 10 weeks of this season. And now all of a sudden he's caught fire.
And he's good, but
he is a good runner. That's the thing that's sort of perplexing about it is he was just so awful at the start of the year, and all of a sudden he's just exploded.
My concern is, I mean, look, they haven't picked up his fifth year option, but my concern is the way he's been playing, they could easily just re-sign Trubisky. I don't know. Well, I don't know what they do there.
That's the thing. You either want to, what do they want to do? Do they want to maybe sort of, you know, sneak into the playoffs and then justify, go, oh yeah, no, Trubisky's our guy and sign him and then be hogtied to him for the next, you know, another 4 to 5 years.
Well, they didn't take it. That's why it was a bit perplexing. They didn't take his fifth year option.
Maybe that's a little, you know, and it's sort of, they had him on a short leash at the start of the year, and him being benched for a while for Nick Foles, and it's possible that, you know, that he's lit a fire under him.
Yeah, well, that's a ridiculous contract too, Nick Foles there. Like, that's...
Well, that's... No, that's right. But, I mean, Trubisky wasn't asked to do a whole lot in this game. You know, this
win
was sort of predicated on that run game. So, Well, that's me. This was, you'd think that this was always going to be a very heavy run game as well, you know, with Dalvin Cook for the Vikings there. But just good. You know, I guess sort of good on the Rook for calling out Kirk Cousins. Like, it just.
It's true.
Well, it's me. Stephon Diggs was doing it through the media last year.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Any other games before we sort of move on to studs and duds?
Look, the Arizona-Philly game had a lot of sort of playoff implications in that as well, and that was, I thought that was a super exciting game. Like, Arizona sort of got out to a decent lead to start off that game, and Philadelphia sort of clawed their way back into it on the back of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, no pun intended, but you're right. You know, Jalen Hurts and both of them and Kyler Murray threw big. Yeah, that was Kyler Murray's first 400-yard game.
He was massive. Murray was massive.
But Jalen Hurts, you know, he looked good.
He does. He looks all right.
So they got 338 passing yards, but it was, if you look at it, it was sort of spread between sort of everybody, really, which was not a bad thing. Really.
Well, that's what they've got to do. They've got it. Yeah, you know, they've got two really good tight ends there and Goddard and obviously Zach Ertz. Hmm. But that was a very sort of, you know, spread out. And a lot of big plays too, you know, a lot of 30 plus yard plays too. So that was really, really well done, I think, by Jalen Hurts. Like, he wasn't asked to do sort of a whole lot with the arm last week against the Saints, but yeah, this week he was in everything. You know, he had 11 rushes for 63 yards. Yeah, he passed the ball 44 times, not super accurate. And took the hits, got sacked six times. So, you know, he just got back up and dusted himself off and just kept going.
Oh, I mean, we've already talked about it a lot, but that's going to be such a conundrum what to do with him. If he keeps playing okay like this, and...
Well, Wentz is, I don't know where he sort of come out and said this, whether or not it was, like a tweet or in an interview. He's basically said, I'm resided to the fact that I could be done for this season, but I'm not, absolutely not going to be a backup.
Well, and he's not paid like a backup.
No, exactly. So, well, exactly right. That's the problem. That's sort of coming out, and he wants to justify the contract that he signed. So, we last week we discussed his contract situation. So they've really got no other choice.
But then why sign such a high, you know, unless, for a backup, why sign such a high-rounded quarterback? It's perplexing.
I think that was just a situation there with Philadelphia. They took Jalen Hurts because he was there. Like, he was probably the best player available there, which, you know, go in and get yourself some receivers or some offensive line help. Like, that's not a spot where they really needed a whole lot of help. We're playing the results game now to say, oh yeah, they do need help at the quarterback position, but they just signed Wentz to that massive deal. So why go out there and sign another quarterback in the face of Carson Wentz?
Especially a
quarterback with the reputation of what Jalen Hurts has got, because he played 4 years of college. He's got a national championship. He was great with Alabama. Mm-hmm. He looked good with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, so he's got the reputation there. And in the couple of games that he's played, he looks like he's coming up with the goods.
Do you have anything else before we quickly move on to studs and duds?
Yeah, I think it's come out there now that all the NFC East teams. Everyone's going to finish under 500. I think everybody's basically still in the mix there. I think that game today, like that Arizona, Philly game, not so much eliminates Philadelphia, but they go back down to the bottom of the division now.
4-9, So they'll have to. I'd say so because they're going to have to. They'll have to win both the games, and then depending on what happens with the other teams, so. I think so, but you're right. Like, you know, Washington's 6-8, Cowboys are 5-9, and so are the Giants. Cowboys just have a better 4-against. So, who knows? We were all hyping up Washington, but so Washington's got Panthers and then the Eagles and the final, and we've got
two winnable games.
Well, the flip side, we've got two more divisional games. We've got the Eagles and then Giants in the last game, so.
two winnable games.
They are. And then I'd say effectively you rule the Giants out because they've got, the Cowboys last, then they got Ravens next week. So surely they couldn't beat the Ravens are red hot at the moment. I was going to talk of them and just in the stud, but I don't know. Yeah, I'd say between Washington and Cowboys,
were we even going to say that last week? Like we'd all sort of decided the fact that it was going to be Washington's to lose, and now the Cowboys have come out of nowhere with one win.
Well, that's two in a row. That's the best they've done all year.
Yeah, it's two on the trot.
But they've got Panthers and then the Eagles. I mean, I'd say if they beat the Panthers, they're in. I would say Cowboys have to win both games. Eagles and then the Giants. But if Washington, all they'd have to do is beat the Panthers, and then they should beat the Eagles. They should.
I'd say
it'll be. I think it'll be decided after this week. But it doesn't accept that. But they're all going to be under 500. And that's going to be a divisional winner. So that's absolutely crazy.
If Washington wins out, they could get to 8-8. So that'll be 500. So, it probably won't look so bad as an 8-8, divisional winner.
Yeah.
But, even in that, like they're still, Dwayne Haskins, I think he threw the ball like 55 times, now 57 times today. So I don't think that's the recipe for success at Washington, him having to throw that much in that game against Seattle. But I think the only sort of thing, I guess, to mention is that, now with that New York Jets win, they have now bumped themselves out of prime position for the number one pick next year. That now has gone to Jacksonville. They now have a 68% chance to score the number one pick. Whereas I think at the start of the week, I think the Jets had a 73% chance to get it.
Yeah.
Now they've gone themselves and got themselves a win, and I'm sure they're celebrating. I'm sure they were celebrating fairly hard in the LA Rams dress in the bowels of SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
But drink it in while you can, and that's great. They go out there to win football games, but your sort of surefire hit in Trevor Lawrence now could quite possibly be a Jacksonville Jaguar rather than a New York Jet.
Well,
and I don't know what's worse.
Well, that's exactly right, because I'm going to step on both my studs and duds of the week. So they're both in the same game. I mean, I'll start with the dud and just Gardner Minshew. It's Gardner Minshew, and it's probably more the offensive line. He got sacked 5 times. He was okay for what he had, but he got sacked.
I know you don't like Minshew mania.
I don't like Minshew mania. So, but what you just said then, like which one's better? Which offensive line's going to help Trevor Lawrence better?
None.
Who knows? Because I don't know about Jacksonville's. They might have a couple of offensive weapons, but defensively, I don't know. Offensive line.
Yeah, O-line wise, they're just as bad as each other.
So it was more their offensive line. They were just, they were horrendous. And on the flip side, like Lamar Jackson was just, he only threw for 243, but it was just accurate enough and ran a touchdown as well. I'm giving it to him because of how, from that last week, how he come in and helped his team win. And then now they're just on a roll.
They needed that too. Needed that as well because they're on the outside looking in at the moment in that playoff hunt. So they need to get as many wins as possible at the moment. So, they're playing for their playoff, essentially their playoff lives. Miami's got it up on them at the moment. So Miami would actually be in the playoffs at this point in time at 9-5. Baltimore just got to keep winning. Lamar Jackson, the last couple of games has been really good, and they've just got to keep rolling. They got to ride this momentum wave, and hopefully it carries them into the playoffs.
So I've stepped on both of mine. Do you want to do your dud and stud of the week?
Start of the week for me was Tom Brady in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, I mean, he was vintage TB12. He had that bomb that he hit to Antonio Brown. It was a total shift from the first half.
Yeah.
He didn't look very good. You could see the frustration on his face. The second half, you know, he goes 21 for 29, a couple of touchdown passes and 320 yards. Like, you'd be happy with that for a full game stat line. You know, that's just the half. You know, 31 point explosion there in the second half, and you know, once again is the Shang Tsung of the NFL and stealing the soul of the Atlanta Falcons again.
it felt like it when I was watching that game. That's what it felt like. It felt like a Tom Brady.
All I needed was Atlanta to not lose by 7.
Well, and it worked.
And
for you.
I was getting very worried at the end of the game when the announcers were starting to talk about, oh, do they take the field goal? And it's just like, no, don't take the field goal, because then that puts Tampa Bay up by 7, and there goes my multi. I'm glad they played the game the right way. Get the first down and then take a couple of knees. Happy days. Bet still stands.
And who's your dud of the week then?
Oh, my God. My dud of the week is no players, you know, no teams or anything like that. Channel 7. Channel 7. Oh, my God. They're just ads littered all through Atlanta's final drive in the first half when the game was on, and they kept bombing ads through there so you couldn't see the game. Throughout the halftime sort of report, the Verizon halftime report, there was ads littered all through there. So all of a sudden the ads stopped and they were halfway through doing all their highlights packages. It's like, what the hell are they doing? And then as they were putting ads on, they're advertising still the first test. There hasn't been cricket in 2 days. They're still advertising the first test. Like, what are you doing?
Okay, I'll give you that. The first bit, I don't think that's ridiculous. I'll give you that. But the first bit is not their fault. They have to put their ads in.
They're the one that are putting the ads on.
No, but you're right. But that's depending on when the NFL put their ads on. The NFL, well, not even the NFL, your CBSs, your NBCs.
Atlanta was running one play, and then there was an ad being put on. That's not right. That you run it through. They were running through.
I thought they put it on going on like what happens to, you know, how it's getting reported.
You can tell when, you know, when the American ads and stuff like that come on. This was 100% Channel 7.
Well, that, like, the advertiser first test.
I don't know what the hell. I mean, I don't know what the hell they were doing. Like, I don't know if the guy that was in the studio putting the ads on was drunk and just pushing. Oh, let's put this ad on. Oh, this ad's cool. Let's put this. It was ridiculous.
But get with what's happening
on your channel.
Yeah.
Like, you do realize that there hasn't been cricket for 2 days now.
Tune in
at 2 o'clock this afternoon to watch the first test, India and Australia. It's like, no, it's kind of over.
That's pretty poor, actually. That just shows you how much they check their program.
Channel 7 doesn't care about cricket.
They don't care about NFL by the sounds of it either. They don't care about any sport, except for AFL. So,
I mean, yeah, they don't care about the cricket.
Right. Wow. I didn't see that. That's pretty unforgivable doing that.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, that's just some professionalism, please.
Well, that's a good way to finish. That'll do it for this week's podcast.
The ultimate professionalism right here on the podcast.
Of course it is. Yeah, we'll see. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook is Final Play Podcast. As well, you can get every single pod on gimco.com.au. And obviously on Facebook, you'll see other links for the pods, which will be, I mean, the majority of what I see gets clicked on is Spotify. So
Spotify is the way to go. SoundCloud as well. Like we post, links up for both on there. But yeah, they're your most popular.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Look, we did that seamlessly. We are more professional.
This is very professional. This is informative and professional, I believe.
Good way to end that. Well, my name's Jason. I'm not Seven Mate Smith.
No, exactly. Yeah, this is, I'm Miles, the ultimate professional plum.
That's a big call. We still got a couple more NFL games to go through, but that's cool. That's a big call to say before the end of the NFL season. We'll see.
We're good.
And then we got the NBA season. Yeah, we'll see.
NBA season starts in a couple of days. So we'll be ready for that. This will be our last podcast here, I guess, before Christmas.
Yes.
So everybody out there listening, have yourselves a very Merry Christmas. Hopefully you're not working. I am, and you're an SOB. You're going down south. So yeah.
Yeah, it's just a couple of weeks. So. It'd be sweet. And I'm not working at all. So depending on what's going on out there, hopefully they're to go about and do stuff. And hopefully everyone listens to the premiere and just, you know, basically she's shutting the borders again, which is good because, I'm from New South Wales, but you don't want
to. What happens with you guys? We can still travel interstate, though,
right? Interstate's fine. So if we're traveling south, it's all good. But I think people have till 1 a.m. to get back from Sydney around Sydney to here. Otherwise, they ain't staying here for Christmas, apparently.
We'll have to go back and they'll have to go to quarantine. So apparently that cluster down south is getting bigger and bigger by the minute. Well, they booted buddy Ian Chappell out of the cricket at the Adelaide Oval because he lives on the Northern Beaches.
Yeah, well, that's right.
So it was like I think it was after the first day, and I was actually listening to it on the radio, and Ian Chappell was on the lunch break, on the ABC radio, just sort of talking away. It's so good to hear his voice again.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was the thing. It was the next day. Yeah, the next day he got the flick.
Yeah, well.
Well, they had to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, there was nothing they could do about it. That sort of sucks, you know. Let him have his first love in cricket. But, reading the article, it's just like, you're like, oh wow, like that sucks. Yeah, when you first read it, it's a bit jarring. It's like, what did he do? Did he get hammered and he was stumbling around the ABC press box or something? I don't know what was going on.
I'm just reading the just before we sign off, just an NFL post on ESPN on Facebook. Good, New England Patriots miss the playoffs in their first season without Brady, and it's got Brady holding a phone, texting Bill and say, hey, I heard the news, thinking of you, love heart. That's awesome. Well, technically, that's it. Like, you know, the whole who's going to play better and go, if you really have to go off, it doesn't make a difference. But really, at the end of the day, Tom's played better.
Tom's had enough weapons. That's right. So. That was always going to be, I guess, the sort of one of the big narratives of this season. Who was it? Was it Belichick or was it Brady?
Thinking of you. That's so good.
Love heart. Yeah.
All right.
Love heart. Kisses.
Have a good week, everyone. See ya. That's awesome.
Merry Christmas, everyone. See ya.
Have a good New Year's.